If you would, take your Bibles, open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And babe, could you get me a glass of water and a sandwich? No, I'm just kidding. But I preached. This would be the second time, and then I had a early this morning and singing in the choir. So anybody want to take my place, feel free. So anybody play guitar better than me, which I'm sure there's got to be somebody that does, feel free. So we're looking for people to serve for sure. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I have delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Give me 5 seconds. Sorry, that was 2. Okay, thank you, youth. Way to be sarcastic, because that's not original. Okay. I mean, that's original. Yeah, that was terrible. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. You know, today is Easter, and Easter is a reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the first thing Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that, "I would remind you." And isn't it interesting that just about 30 years or less after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that people needed to be reminded of the truth, that he didn't die and stay in a tomb. He didn't die and was somehow just spiritually raised in their hearts, like some theologians have thought, but that Christ actually got up bodily out of a grave and was raised by God. You know, we all need reminders, and especially me. I've probably spent a third of my life standing in a room wondering why I'm there. You know, I'm the guy that when I was growing up, my mom would always find the milk in the cupboard and the ice cream in the refrigerator. And it would be me, because I'm sort of absent-brained, whatever you want to call it, absent-minded. And I'm always thinking about other things and not focused on what's important. There's a story about a man who went to the doctor and said, "Doc, I keep forgetting things." And the doctor said, "Since when have you had these problems?" And the man said, "What problems?" You know, we have problems with our memory. Me personally, it's a sort of inside joke that I have, but I remember learning once that if you put sweet and low in your tea, that might cause cancer, and if you put equal in your tea, that caused memory loss. So I do a pack of both, so if I ever get cancer, at least I won't remember. But we all forget things from time to time. But Paul reminds them that the resurrection is true. They need a reminder that the resurrection is real. The first thing he tells them is that the resurrection was historical. In chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And Paul uses the language there of, "I'm passing on to you what I received," which means that Paul was teaching them what somebody had taught him. And you know, this phrase that we're about to read, or the phrase that we did read about Christ being raised according to scriptures, buried, raised again the third day, that was something that the earliest Christians taught. You know, the resurrection isn't a later invention. The resurrection isn't some myth that people come up with. But the resurrection is true. Paul begins to list different eyewitnesses that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. They appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So Paul is saying here, if you don't believe me that Christ rose from the dead, there's a few hundred people that you can go and ask. And since the communities at that time were really small, no doubt that was a real thing that they could go do. Go interview somebody. Go talk to somebody. Did you really see the risen Christ? You know, whenever I talked to somebody once about the resurrection in a previous church, I remember them saying to me, you know, even if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, I would still be a Christian. Why? Why would you be a Christian? Paul here tells us that the very foundation, the core, the heart of the gospel is a historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that the resurrection is undeserved, that it is undeserved. He says in verse 9, I am the least of the apostles and worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You know, this past week we've seen a terrorist and their resulting bombings in Brussels. We've seen people shot and killed in Paris. You know, you can go back as far as 9/11, but you can point to more recent events like Boston, California, San Bernardino. You can point to Fort Hood. And you know, you watch those images and you think, what goes through the mind of a person like that? What would a person like that be thinking to take their life and the innocent lives of other people in the name of a religion? But Paul was that way. Paul was that way. He says in verse 9, I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was responsible for the death of Christians in the name of Judaism. Paul was responsible for the first Christian execution in history of Stephen. And he understood that he was undeserving of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, do you understand that you don't deserve to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that just as these people that blew themselves up, that made themselves enemies of others, that when Christ was perfect, through our sin, we intentionally became his enemy? And the Bible teaches that it's us, we, bear responsibility for executing God himself. Easter reminds us that we are undeserving. He goes on to talk about how the resurrection is the foundation. The resurrection is the foundation for the entire Christian story. In verse 12, he says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. In other words, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Jesus Christ didn't bodily get out of the tomb, we're all sitting here for nothing. I'm preaching for nothing. It's all a lie. It's all fake. It's not real. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead. You know, today the resurrection is disbelieved, and there's been a variety of reasons that people have given that we should disbelieve in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They'll say, oh, it's just like any other old pagan myth, but it's not. There's no pagan myth about a resurrecting Messiah. For some reason, we think that people back then, they had these weird ideas that, you know, but we're smarter than they are. Listen, 2,000 years ago, people knew that dead people stayed dead. And they probably knew it better than you and I. You and I, even though we're Christians, we like to sugarcoat death. Listen to our language. We say, so-and-so passed away. Or so-and-so passed on. Did you know that passed away and passed on was invented by, language invented by, Christian scientism? Christian scientism. To soften the blow of death. To make the gospel not so needed. To make the truth of the resurrection not something that we really have to hold on to. But they just pass away. And they pass on. You know, I remember when my granddad, when my papaw was buried, you know, looking at him in his casket. And, you know, he'd been embalmed. And we do everything we can to make him look like he's still alive. I mean, we're so afraid of death that we put makeup on corpses. Because we don't want to face the truth. That death is death. And when you're gone, you're gone. Not so with the time of Jesus' day. Did you know in the times of Jesus that you would, if a loved one died, that you would go in a year later and you would pick up their bones and you would gather their bones and put them in a box? A, because there wasn't enough burial space. But B, because it didn't bother you. Because you believed in bodily resurrection. That remains were just remains. And that death is not the end of a person. But that God will come back someday and breathe life into every dead body. Into every pile of ashes. Remake you. Raise you up so that you can be with God. And I want to ask you, is the resurrection really the foundation of our faith? Are we somehow afraid of it? Do we somehow back off of it? You know, this week there was a member of our community that died, and I was invited by a church member who was their close friend to go in and pray with him and with his family. And they were laying there in a hospice center. And it's interesting to me that even Christians, we don't want to have anything to do with a hospice center. Center, not center. Center. You know, we want to kind of keep it at arm's length. That's a place for the pastor to go. You know, that's a time for the preacher to be there, you know. But I don't want to get too close to death. And I want to tell you that as I sat there with the family, and no doubt there was sadness in the room, and man, I had to choke down some tears because I didn't know that he had a redheaded boy like my redheaded boy, you know? But let me tell you, just putting my hands on him, praying for him, I had no problem whispering in his ear, hey, you're about to see Jesus in a little while. And tell him that when you do see him, tell him that I'm doing my best. I'm trying. You know, I'm a sinner. I don't have it all together. But what a thing it is as a Christian to know that because Christ Jesus has been raised to the dead, that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that death can't hold you back. Death can't stop you. You know, somebody said that Christians, we're just full of faith, and faith is believing, and what you know ain't so. You know? But that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is knowing it so that you know. You know. And man, I'm willing to talk with anybody who has any doubts. And I can make an historical case, a logical case, any kind of case you want. That look, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And if you know it, and if you know it's true, it should change your life. In chapter 20, or chapter 15, verse 20, he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. That he's the first fruits of those who have died. Christ is the first example of what we're going to be like. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of dead. For as in Adam all die, so in all Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Later on in the end of verse 27, it says, but when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he accepted who put all things in subjection under him. And here's what he's talking about, and it's very simple, that the resurrection brings life. The resurrection of Jesus overcomes and conquers everything in this world. You know, Paul was a Jewish terrorist. That's what he was, you know? But that's not who he stayed. That's not who he was later in life. And Paul was one of the most effective, one of the most bold missionaries to ever walk this planet. And here's why. Because once you wrap your mind around the resurrection of Jesus and that death is not the end, what is somebody going to do to you when you witness to them? What can they do to you? Paul was stoned, not in the illegal sense, but in the biblical sense. He was stoned several times. Man, and he kept preaching the gospel. You know why? Because even if you kill me, that ends up in victory. What are you going to do? And you know, the part of the message of Easter is that we should be public about our faith. The resurrection of Jesus wasn't a private event. You know, the resurrection of Jesus wasn't something that nobody saw evidence of. But the resurrection of Jesus was something that Christ did and made public. Public. And you and I were to do the same. We're to be public about our belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something. Are you afraid of being sick? Are you afraid of someday dying? If you're a Christian, why would you be afraid of that? You know, the goal, and this is really hard to wrap our heads around because we do not think about this. The goal of me as a parent is not to raise my kids up so that they're okay and I'm okay and that everybody's okay. But my goal as a parent should be to raise my kids up so that they know, even if they want to go someplace that's dangerous in this world and give their lives up for Jesus, that's successful. That's success. Not just standing with the status quo. Not just being mediocre. I mean, my gosh, we're so afraid to speak the gospel just because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. But the resurrection overcomes all of that. Everything is conquered by Jesus coming out of the grave. So what are some things that we should do? What are some things that we should be like because of the resurrection? Well, number one, know that you know. You need to make sure that you know that Christ has been raised from the dead. And there doesn't need to be a doubt in your mind. There doesn't need to be a what if in your mind. There doesn't need to be a maybe in your mind. You need to know that you know that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. You know, if he's not raised from the dead, why are you a Christian? I love what Timothy Keller says. He says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. He rose from the grave, and you need to know that you know. Be bold in your witness. Be bold on your faith. The second thing that we need to do is we need to make sure that we make room for the empty tomb. Make room for the empty tomb. Look, Easter is every day. We celebrate it one time a year, but Easter is every day. Because Jesus Christ is alive every day. You know, he doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take a moment off. He is alive right now. You know, Jesus is alive every day. And every day in your life, you need to think that today is new. Today is new because Christ made everything new by raising from the dead. The third thing that you need to get through your brain, and I do too, is that death has died. Death is a payment. It is not permanent. Death is a payment. It's not permanent. Look, I'm going to die someday because I'm a sinner. And that's what I owe. I owe death. Sin is that bad that I owe God my life. You know, unless he comes back, I guess, and I can skip that and go to the good stuff, you know. But unless he doesn't, I'm going to die. But that's payment, but it's not permanent. You know, it is not the end. It's interesting whenever you do a lot of funerals or when you see a lot of funerals. You know, there are funerals of people that are lost. And you know, and I'm not sure why they have them. I guess because you're supposed to, you know. But let me tell you, there are funerals of people that are Christians. But their funeral isn't a celebration. Because they weren't completely sold out to Jesus. And you can tell by the funeral that there's just a little bit of holding back. But man, you can sometimes go to a funeral of somebody who is a believer. And I'm talking about somebody whose life was dedicated to serving Jesus Christ. And in those funerals, and at those moments, there is a worship service that goes on. There is a surety. There is a celebration. There's not an attitude of finality. Because we know that that is not the end for them. Death has died. You know, the question that we need to ask ourselves and that I want to put to you is, have you submitted to Jesus? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And have you put your faith and your hope in him? You know, there's a lot of people in churches that are religious. You know, and I know because I used to be one of them, right? I would always walk around. I had done this, this, and this. I'm better than that person. We say it like this. I'm more spiritually mature. You know, I'm more spiritually mature than you. I'm definitely more spiritually mature. You know, that's what we say, which is a sign that you're really kind of spiritually immature. Spiritually mature people don't have to talk about it. Like, if you're a good ball player, you don't have to talk about it. You just go out there and play. People know. Okay? Same difference. But look, let's imagine that this house across the street that nobody's buying, it's been there for a while, but that there's a U-Haul that pulls up into that house. A family gets out. They unload their stuff. They start taking care of the yard. They put down the for sale sign. They take it off. They start tending to the house. Man, you and I, we would think they are moved in, except for one thing. They never signed a contract. They never met the owner. They never put their name on a deed. And you can come to church your whole life, look like a Christian, squawk like a Christian. Some of you squawk. I guess I'd say talk. Talk like you can act like a Christian all you want. But unless you know Jesus, you're lying. God's not fooled. You know, the other question I want to ask you is, do you believe in the resurrected Jesus? Do you believe that history hangs on whether or not Jesus rose from the grave? See, this is not just some religious ideology. This is not a game. But you know, this is a challenge. You know, I remember I was on Facebook a time ago, and I was talking with a non-believer, and all of a sudden a believer comes in and says, well, I believe in Christianity because it makes me feel good. Well, great for you, but you're lost. Because I don't believe in Christianity because it makes it feel good. I believe in Christianity because it is the truth. It is the truth. I could go be a Buddhist and try to feel good. You know, I could drink some liquor and feel good. There's a lot of ways you can feel good, but I'm not interested in feeling good. I'm interested in the truth. The truth. And do you realize who Jesus is? You know, identity is important. One of the things I remember from my childhood is we were living on overseas, and I spent some time in the Caribbean. And the Caribbean, you know, here we have like the state fair, you know, and that's kind of cool and everything. But there they have Carnival, you know. I mean, you're dressed up, you're dancing. I mean, it gets pretty intense, you know. And as a little kid, it was something I wanted to go see, but I wasn't really allowed to participate in, you know, because it was a party on the entire island. But I remember walking with my dad going through Carnival, and we kind of got separated from my mom. You know, like how you do, like if you're going shopping with your wife and you're in JCPenney and all of a sudden you're like, where in the world did she go? And so you start standing on your tiptoes, looking above the, you know, trying to see, where's the blonde hair, where's the blonde hair? You know, so we were looking, that's what I try to see, not the brunette hair. So we were trying to look for and try to find, you know, my mom, who is a brunette. Why is that important? I told you, ADD. Okay, but anyway. So I'm with my dad, and we're walking through, and finally he notices my mom, and he goes right up to her. I mean, he gives her a big hug, you know, kisses her on the neck. And when the lady turned around, it was not my mom, you know. And I remember being 12 thinking, that doesn't look to me like her. And she wasn't very happy, you know. She wasn't very thrilled, and she kind of had an open palm as she turned around. Look, that's a funny story, but here's the deal. Identity matters. Identity matters. And you and I, we don't need to get Jesus Christ wrong. Look, Jesus Christ is who he said he was, if and only if he rose from the grave. And if he rose from the grave, then that changes our lives every single day. I mean, come on, we're worshiping on Sunday. We worship on Sundays and not Saturdays because Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And so every Sunday we go to church, we're celebrating, whether you're aware of it or not, it is a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that can only be found in him. Well, do you know Jesus this morning? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's not a decision I can make for you, and I don't want to. You know, I want God to convict you of that truth. But I just want to ask you, do you know him? And then if you are a Christian, are you living out every day celebrating the new life in Christ? Are you willing to be bold in your faith because they can't kill you? And man, isn't it great that we're not in some religion where we have to kill other people? We think taking their lives? No, we're in a religion that says that you can take my life. Take my life. And I still win because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for this Easter Sunday. And God, I want to just ask in this moment that you would just move in my heart, God. Let me know, man, I want to be more like you. I'm sorry I'm not. Just forgive me. Thank you that we can be bold in our faith. Thank you for the truth of your resurrection from the dead, that we're not just a part of some religion, that we have the truth. And help us not shy away from, not take a step back from proclaiming that truth. People need to know. And God, just in these next moments, I just pray that if there's anybody in here who's unsure that they know you, that they would get that right. And God, if there's anybody in this room who, I mean, just like me, they know that we need to do more living for you. Just use this time for them to recommit themselves to following after you, Lord. And God, we just praise you. And we want to lift up your name. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This time, if you'd please stand, we're going to have a few lines of invitation. And just respond however God is telling you to respond.